As you know, you help your clients correct faulty ideas and logic mainly through questions. Ideally, with the anxiety disordered client, he or she learns to pose your questions to themselves. Now, the following is a checklist for asking questions. Think of an anxiety disordered child or adult you are treating and see if you need to fine-tune your questions in the next session. Here's Beck's 6-point checklist. Number 1. Did your questions help the client to focus on the specifics? For example, do you need to try the close your eyes technique? Here's an example of the close your eyes technique. Therapist, what do you think would happen if you confronted your boss about changing your hours? Oh, probably nothing would happen. Can you be more specific? What exactly do you think would happen? Well, he probably would just shrug it off. Well, it's just the way it is. Can you be even more specific? Mainly think for a moment. Can you close your eyes and imagine it? Well, I imagine he might be taken aback at first, but then he probably would ask me why I brought it up, and I really think that he wouldn't carry it out any further. Can you imagine it again? I can see he would act another way. He'd be very mad at me. How are you reacting to him? Well, I'm getting upset, and I can't talk. I want to leave. That's what I was wondering about. To be even more specific, what would be the worst thing about the situation? Your feeling? The way that you would act? Or the reaction of your boss? Here I use questions to get the client to specify what exactly he was afraid of in this situation. Number 2. Were your questions specific, direct, and concrete in your last session with the anxiety disordered client? Although an open-ended question such as, how have you been feeling, is useful for obtaining general information, questions that get particular types of information are usually more helpful, as you know. For example, how anxious were you when you asked for the date? Such questions, I find, enhances the client's observing self in the session and thus improve communication, provide structure, and facilitate relief of the symptoms. When one client said his anxiety concerns, quote, the meaning of life, I asked the client, what specifically concerns you about the meaning of life? What at first appeared to be a client's existential or preoccupation with vague philosophical concepts was tracked to a specific fear of cancer. Checklist point number 2 is, were your questions specific, direct, and concrete enough? Number 3. Think over your last session with an anxious client. Did your questions grow out of your conceptualization of the client's problems? For example, if your strategy for a battered wife is for her to see the possible courses of action available to her, I could call the police. Was your question geared to having the client think along the lines of, what could you do? In short, think of your conceptualization of the problem and think about your questions regarding that conceptualization. Checklist number 4. Were your questions timed to foster rapport and problem solving? As you know, poorly timed questions can increase your client's anxiety, as would, for example, asking a client to cognitively rehearse a fearful event before you have established trust with him. Were questions geared, ask yourself, to enhance trust, like, do you feel nothing would happen if you tried what we discussed, need to be asked early in treatment. So think about the timing of your questions. And I feel, and it's been my experience, that with anxiety disordered clients, questions, as I mentioned a moment ago, do you feel nothing would happen? What do you think of the homework assignment? Are ways of dealing with the client's resistance and helping to build trust in the therapeutic process to being geared towards resolving issues that they feel are important and motivated to resolve. Did you ask questions too rapidly? For example, if you have an adolescent or client who is a child, did you ask questions too rapidly for the child's level of development? The result I find, especially with a child, is they feel cross-examined and perhaps become defensive. To avoid this, I find a need to take added time with the child to think about the information I have before I phrase my next question. I need to constantly be vigilant, so to speak, to avoid the common error of formulating a new question instead of listening to the client's, whether it's an adult or a child's, answer. So think about point number 5 and ask yourself, were questions asked too rapidly, and perhaps do you feel that the client, whether a child or an adult, felt cross-examined at any time during the session, and how can you change that in your next treatment session? Next, let's talk about question number 6. Were your questions in-depth enough? Or were you aiding your client in avoidance of the real issues? And I know I've been guilty of this one. As you know, your client usually has more information than he or she is aware of. You may stop asking questions before the client gets to the real cause of the anxiety. To avoid this, I ask, and try to remember to ask, see if you can think of anything else when the client seems to, quote, run out of information. I find often a client's most helpful reconceptualizations come after his immediate responses. I then repeat, take a couple minutes and see if you can think of anything else. It seems like this is a good technique to go further in depth. By simply repeating this question often brings up new material. Now, in the following example, I use questions to elicit information and to open up a client's closed logic. Here's how I did it. Here's the client. I don't think I'll ever be able to get a job. My response, how often do you have this thought? Quite often. And what do you base this thought on? I just feel it. There's no use. Do you think feeling is always logical? No, I guess not always. What are the advantages of this type of thinking for you, do you suppose? Well, I don't have to go for an interview. I don't have to think about it. Well, those are real benefits. What disadvantages are there? I'll never get what I want. On balance, and as you look at the total picture, is this thinking helpful for you? Well, I suppose not. What do you think you could do about this type of thinking if it's getting in your way? Maybe look at it more closely. So there's an example of using questions to go in depth with the client. Which brings us to question number 8. What are 6 key points for asking questions of an anxious child or adult?